Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, March 12th, 2023. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend. Got a lot to talk about today, so let's go through the topics and jump into it. On this edition of the Weekender, we have results for Action Wrestling's It's Cool, IWS vs. GCW Uneffin' Sanctioned, Freelance Wrestling's Shy City, ICW NHB Pit Fighter 15 Ultra Violent Vortex, NWA vs. AAA, The World is a Vampire. Also have results for NWA Power, NXT Level Up, HOG, House of Glory, Hog Wrestling, whatever you want to call it, with Glory Comes Pride. And we also have results for MLW Underground to wrap up the show. So a lot to talk about today, as I said. We've got title changes, got a ton of results, and we're going to start today with Action Wrestling's It's Cool. This show took place on March 10th. And it's available on IWTV. Use code FIGHTTALK, F-I-G-H-T-T-A-L-K, all as one word, no spaces. Appreciate that when y'all use that code over there on independentwrestling.tv. And while we're at it, if you like the show, please hit the like button right here on Fightful Select. If you're new to the show, feel free to wait till the end. If you like the show, hit the like button at the end. If you don't like the show, don't hit the button. I'm not trying to force anyone to do anything they don't want to do, but I do appreciate the likes right here on Fightful Select. So yeah, anyways, that all said, got a lot to talk about with Action Wrestling today. This show took place, like I said, on March 10th from Noonan, Georgia, and these are the results. We have Out of This World, the team of Eric Royal and BK Westbrook, defeating Top Team, the team of Teriyaki and Jay Lucas. The finish of this one was the combination belly-to-back suplex and Kobe off the top rope by Eric Royal while Westbrook is holding up Teriyaki. So basically, best way I could describe it, like I kind of said, BK Westbrook pulls up Teriyaki in a belly-to-back suplex, and Eric Royal comes off the top rope, hits him with the Kobe, which is basically just a head slam straight into the ground, like you're slamming a basketball, Kobe style, hence, you know, the name of the move, and they hit that on Teriyaki to get the W. After that, we had O'Shea Edwards over Kevin Ryan. O'Shea gets the win with a Kaiju driver, which is his version of the Rikishi driver for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Bobby Flacco, who you can hear more about on the Spotlight. If you want to check that out after you listen to the Weekender, myself and Jeremy just interviewed Bobby Flacco. We talked about him last week right here on the show. He won the SCI Rumble, the Phoenix City Invitational Rumble, last weekend, and he's punched his ticket to the SCI Tournament, which is happening this summer, I believe in June. So yeah, can't wait for that. That's going to be taking place out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. I've gone multiple times to Chattanooga for that tournament. Might even go this year. I'd definitely like to be able to. So that's something that I may make that happen. So yeah, definitely check out the SCI when it happens and continue to support Bobby Flacco. He's doing big things. And he is super over in Action Wrestling, really in the whole Southeast right now, but Action Wrestling in particular, super over. Bobby Flacco, once again, was interviewed by myself and Jeremy. You can check that out over on the Spotlight. That's on the main YouTube channel here at Fightful. And there are, excerpts and, quotes and stuff from that interview that Jeremy's been putting in articles over there on Fightful.com. So please check that out. Support Fightful, support Jeremy and I with Spotlight, and please support Bobby Flacco. Speaking of Flacco, he gets the win here with the top rope springboard Oscutter, is kind of what I put, pretty much as it sounds. Jumps off the top rope backwards into a badass-looking cutter for the 1-2-3. Gets the win over Carlos Romo. After that, we had Billy Starks over Devlin Macabre. Billy gets the win with an assault driver for the 1-2-3. After that, we had The Good Hand, the team of Shug D and Alex Kane, defeating the team of Damian Tangra and Matt Sells. The finish here was basically Sells and Shug are fighting for a backslide. They're trying to each do it one to each other. You know, their arms are locked behind their backs, and they're each going for a backslide. As this is happening, Shug D kind of like pushes the ref and kicks backwards and does one of those dick kick low blows right onto Matt Sells, and then follows up with a schoolboy roll up. The referee didn't see it, so the referee counts for the three, and Shug D and Alex Kane, the Good Hand, get the win there. After that, we had Derek Neal over AC Mack. Neal gets the win with a Fisherman Buster for the three count. Really big win for Derek Neal. I like the finish of this match as well, too. Basically, what winds up happening right before the Fisherman Buster, there was like a reversal where basically like Neal dumps AC really awkwardly to the outside of the ring, and that led right into Derek hitting the Fisherman Buster for the three count. And like I said, this is a really big win for Derek Neal. I mean, he's been huge in the Southeast for a while now, especially out of New South. You know, we talked about the Haas tournament last week. You'll be hearing more about the Haas tournament, by the way. Myself and Jeremy are going to be interviewing Hunter Drake, who won that tournament, very soon for the spotlight. But Derek Neal has been getting really big in the Southeast. There was a whole movement a while ago, I mean, over a year ago now, where he was trying to get a spot in the NWA, and they just weren't giving him a look for some reason, which I thought was just absolutely insane that they weren't interested in him, considering a lot of the stuff we talk about with the NWA show, and, you know, we'll talk about more of that today, I'm sure. But Derek Neal getting the win over AC Mack is especially important here, because AC Mack is the longest-running ever action wrestling champion. He's also been the Southern Underground Pro, Sup Graps, Bone Storm champion, and, you know, various championships in the Southeast. But, and he's, of course, AC Mack's also been the IWTV Independent Wrestling World Champion. So Derek Neal getting that win over AC Mack in action wrestling specifically is a really big deal, in my opinion, for Derek Neal. After that, we had Brogan Finley with a big win of his own over one called Manders. Brogan gets the win after he basically does like a code breaker to Manders' arm that he'd been working over, and then hits him with a twisting brain buster and puts up the Bullet Club, like the two sweet hand symbol while he's pinning Manders, as a nod to his brother, David Finley, who leads the Bullet Club. And I've been saying it for a while that Brogan's going to be way bigger in wrestling, like, long-term, than David. That's nothing against David. It's just, if you want to know more about Brogan, once again, listen to the interview myself and Jeremy did with Bobby Flacco, because the two of them have known each other since they were kids. But I've been talking about Brogan literally since his, like, first match. It's hard to explain if you're newer to the show, but if you're a long-term listener, you already know. But I discovered Brogan through this scene in the Southeast, mainly through my boy Moes, John Mosley, who's a commentator for Action. And he told me about his first match, and I was literally watching Brogan's first match, second match, third match, and we were like following really the beginning of his career right here on the Weekender. And now he's starting to kind of blow up a little bit, and of course his brother is leading the Bullet Club, so there's speculation as to, you know, a matter of time before Brogan's involved in that potentially. And anyway, huge win for Brogan. Got the win once again with the Brain Buster on Manders. And the main event of the show, we had a huge title change. The Action Wrestling Tag Team Champions are now Culture Inc., the team of Eli Knight and Malik Bose. They defeat Violence is Forever, the team of Kevin Koo and Dominic Greeny, to become the new champions. Violence is Forever had those titles for a very long time. We talk about Violence is Forever on pretty much every episode of this show, and we have for the last 4 years plus. But, man, it's one of those things where, first I'll say congratulations to Culture Inc. Eli and Malik definitely deserve this. Those two guys have been just busting their asses out there. Eli, I've known a bit more about because I see him as a singles wrestler. I see just more of Eli, and he's super talented. And Malik is very talented in his own right as well. They're both young, hungry, athletic, charismatic, over, you know what I mean? And innovative, you know? And even the finish of this match could have gone so much worse because the top rope was loose. So the finish of this match, I'll get through that first. So the finish here is, it's like a doomsday springboard blockbuster by Knight and Malik but onto Guarini. But the top rope was loose, so Eli like barely was able to execute that springboard to hit that move. And the fact that he pulled it off is honestly a testament to like how insanely talented that kid is, because I think most others that would have either been a massive botch or looked way worse. So I want to give him big credit for pulling that off, because that was, you could tell that he was like, you could tell as it was happening, it was like, whoa, you know, because the it's hard to describe without you seeing it, but the top rope was definitely loose, and it, like, he didn't get the spring he normally would get on that. Violence is Forever. They're in a crossroads of their career, I feel like, right now, both Q and Guarini, in a really good way, honestly, because I feel like big things are coming. I'm seeing a lot of signs, I feel like, in a lot of their stuff right now, where they're dropping titles, you know, they went from being, like, really dominant, carrying all the belts, to, you know, lost the Bang Bros pretty recently, lost to Culture Inc. here. They were signed to MLW for a while, but left there a little while back. They are definitely on AEW's radar, because they've showed up as, like, extras on AEW before. But I really feel like, you know, once again, it's like they're dropping titles, they're not signed anywhere, they're at the top of their game, there's nothing left for them to accomplish on the indie scene outside of maybe getting more involved in, like, GCW. But I feel like VIF is just, you know, I think they'd be better off on television somewhere, and I don't know where that is. I don't know where the best place for them is. I think Ring of Honor would be, like, the most obvious, you know, and I think that's the place that would probably make the most sense. I'd love to see them as a regular part of AEW. I'd love to see them in NXT. But I just feel like it's a matter of time before we see some sort of deal made between Tony Khan and Q and Guarini, and the two of them wind up in Ring of Honor / AEW. I don't know anything, but I have no inside knowledge of any of this. I'm just reckless speculation. It's just a vibe that I get, a feeling I get, and I am right about this kind of stuff pretty often, but not always. So just keep your eye out for Violence is Forever. I just feel like they're at a crossroads in their career, and I feel like something big is on the horizon for them. And also, huge shout out once again to Culture Inc. for getting the win here and winning the Action Tag Team titles. I think they're going to be great champions, and I can't wait to see what they do next. Moving on, we have results for IWS versus GCW Un-Effin' Sanctioned. This show took place on Fight Plus. The pre-show took place on YouTube for free. You can find that on the Game Changer Wrestling YouTube channel. And then the main show took place on Fight Plus. I'm not endorsed, unlike IWTV, which I have a code, and I openly say that I am endorsed to say that. Fight Plus, I do not have that, but I am still telling you, $4.99 a month, maybe the best value in all of streaming, I think. Especially if you're a GCW fan, that's worth the $5 alone for all the stuff you get. But that, on top of all the extra stuff, all the other wrestling companies, all the different sports and other combat sports and stuff, it's a no-brainer for $5 a month to have Fight Plus, in my opinion. That said, the pre-show, as I mentioned, took place on YouTube. These are the results, starting with the pre-show, and then I'll go into the main show. This show took place, by the way, on March the 11th, which was yesterday at the time of this recording, from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. We had an 8-man tag match where Team GCW, the team of Dylan McKay, Shane Mercer, Cole Radrick, and Alec Price, defeated Black Dynamite, JT Producer, Carl Jepsen, and Shane Hawk. The finish here saw Hawk and Producer both turn on their teammates after some miscommunication, which led to all the baby faces getting their stuff off. Well, I say baby faces. All the baby faces, if you're a fan of GCW. It's funny because it's, you know, a GCW versus IWS show, so technically they're the heels, I guess, on this show. But to the regular GCW audience, this is a team of baby faces. So we had basically the turn happens from Hawk and JT, and then there's a springboard stunner by Cole Radrick, followed by a moonsault and battery off the second rope by Shane Mercer, followed by a top rope elbow drop by Alec Price, followed by a shooting star press by Dylan McKay to get the W for Team GCW. After that, we had a tag team match where Hardbody and Jimmy Lloyd defeated Amazingly Sweet. The finish here was Jimmy Lloyd. This was such a fast match. You could tell, I mean, this was literally like 2 minutes long. But the finish here was Jimmy Lloyd hitting a spinning package pile driver onto Maze, Alex Maze, for the finish. And then that led into the main show, which started off with the East-West Express, the team of Jordan Oliver and Nick Wayne, defeating Fresh Air, the team of Junior Benito and Mac Ray Martin. I really, really like the whole Hot Stepper thing, like the whole Hot Stepper gimmick and the theme song and the entrance. That's one of like my favorite songs. I just really like that tune just in general, and I love that someone's using that in wrestling and using it as a nickname in wrestling. Just wanted to throw that out there. But Jordan Oliver and Nick Wayne, the East-West Express, them against Junior and Martin, very, very good match to open the show. And the finish here was a double clout cutter by Oliver and Wayne to get the 3 count. After that, we had Lufisto over Sawyer Wreck. Finish here was Lufisto hitting a burning hammer off the ring apron through a table on the outside. Picks up Sawyer, throws her into the ring, and pins her for the 1-2-3. After that, we had TDT defeating Los Mestizos. This was a really damn good tag team match. TDT, I feel like, is going to blow up a lot more soon, especially if they're more involved in GCW, especially beating Ciclope and Mato Extremo. That's a big deal, no matter where it happens, but especially on a card, you know, a GCW-branded card. But TDT, if they get, they just need to get more work in the U.S., really just get more exposure. But I really feel like they should be in the mix more in the tag team division of Game Changer Wrestling on like a consistent basis if they can get them. I don't know how it works with everyone's like visas and availability and travel and all that. You know, I never know with any of that with any of these, you know, wrestlers. But based on talent and what I saw last night, because I've seen TDT plenty of times before, but like, last night, I felt like it was a real showing out for them because of, like, the stage and once again, who they beat. Los Mestizos just lost the GCW tag titles last weekend to Motor City Machine Guns. So, I really liked what I saw out of those guys. And, TDT get the win when they lock in it's like a Cobra Clutch, it's kind of like a Camel Clutch with a short arm bar. And then also a Texas Cloverleaf. So both members lock in a Texas Cloverleaf and a Cobra Clutch, or keep calling it Cobra Clutch. It's kind of like a Cobra Clutch, Camel Clutch, causing the double tap out. But yeah, really, really good stuff. After that, we had a Beer Bash match where Matt Falco defeated Manders, got the win. I love this finish. Matt Falco is another guy. There's a lot of hidden gems here in IWS, and I mean hidden from the grand scheme of things in the wrestling landscape, or even like the North American landscape. I feel like, you know, there's a lot of talent here that, you know, I was aware of, but someone like Matt Falco, after his match with Manders, I was like, damn, this guy really needs more looks in this company or just indie wrestling. Some of these guys just need a lot more exposure because there's a lot of talent there. Like Matt Falco's finisher totally rules. He calls it the jump slam. He basically goes off the top rope with Manders and hits this choke slam that, I mean, I'm only saying this because if you're a regular listener of the show, you know I've been saying this week after week. Others that hear this might just become being a hater or something, but like Matt Falco, that jump slam puts Sawyer Wreck's choke slam to absolute shame. And that's like the problem I've had with Sawyer is like Sawyer has a hard time picking people up for whatever reason. She has a hard time choke slamming people, lifting them up. It's kind of strange how it comes off that she just isn't lifting people. She wasn't able to lift Lufisto for a power bomb at one point in this match. I noticed on the outside, it's just strange to me. Like the majority of Sawyer's gimmick is being, like, she should operate like Matt Falco does, is my point. Matt Falco jumped off the top rope, hit this jump slam onto Manders. He, like, flew through the air with Manders, threw him through this table. It looked incredible, you know? And the reason I bring up Sawyer so often is because Sawyer's getting pushed big in a lot of places right now, and I understand it. Great look, super unique, seems to have a great attitude. From what I understand, people backstage love her, you know, at least the people that I know speak very, 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 very highly of her. It's just the damn finishing moves of, like, it just doesn't make sense to me that she's willing to go out there and have you know, skewers stuck in her head and do all this crazy stuff, and, like, the fans love it, but when it comes time to just choke slam someone, she just doesn't lift them off the ground. Falco over here is flying through the air with people, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Anyways, once again, Falco with this an awesome jump slam off the top rope through a table, just great finish. Defeated Manders in that one. After that, we had Mike Bailey over Gringo Loco. Bailey got the win. I mean, this was fantastic. Mike Bailey and Gringo Loco are two of the best in-ring wrestlers in the entire world right now. They're on a very short list for me of, like, just in-ring, can't miss guys. Anytime they wrestle, I think you need to go out of your way to watch all of their matches. The finish of this one was Bailey hitting, you know, just a whole combination of his greatest hits. So basically, he hits a roundhouse kick and then a super kick and then goes across the ring doing the spinning tornado kick. And then finishes with the Ultima Weapon off the second rope, the Shooting Star Double Knees, for the 1-2-3. Awesome match. After that, we had Melanie Havoc defend and retain her IWS Women's Championship over Alley Catch. The finish of this one was a Brutalizers, is essentially what I wrote down. Kind of almost like a Rings of Saturn, but really like pack-style Brutalizer, forcing Alley Catch to tap out. After that, we had the IWS World Heavyweight title match where Benjamin Toll defended and retained his title over Tony Deppen. The finish here was, I always call it the Metal Leak Driver. I think the technical term or the more widely used name of the move, I think, is Landslide. But, or at least that's how I think Nakamura used to call it, the Landslide, when he used to do it in New Japan like forever ago. But it's basically like the Death Valley Driver into a Michinoku Driver. But I'm just going to call it the Metal Leak Driver. Benjamin Toll hit a running Metal Leak Driver through a door that was propped up in the corner to retain his title over Deppen. And then the main event of the show, we had a Fans Bring the Weapons six-man tag match. Well, six-person tag match, I should say. It was Mance Warner and Rina Yamashita. Yamashita and Warner had a mystery partner. And then we also had Green Phantom and Sexy Eddie on the other side, and they also had a mystery partner. The mystery partner came out for GCW. It was Nick F. and Gage. And then for Team IWS, the mystery partner was PCP, Crazy F. and Manny. So PCP, Manny, and Nick Gage were going back and forth a lot in this one, which is just bonkers that happened. Speaking of bonkers, probably the most notable thing that happened in this match is PCP Manny lost an ear. So if you want to see that happen, it's absolutely disgusting. The finish of this match included that, and that's pretty much why the match ended when it did. Essentially, what winds up happening is Nick Gage and, you know, everyone in this match is cut up and bloody and hit with everything, right? I mean, tubes and tubes and tubes and weapons all over the place. But towards the end of the match, Gage is just destroying PCP with light tubes. And eventually, like, I mean, it's so gross, but without getting too graphic, I'll just say, literally cut Manny's ear off. Like, he straight up, like, lost an ear in that match. It was disgusting. And then, Gage just, like, hit him in the back with more light tubes and pinned him. I think they were just like, his ear's gone, just pin him, get out of here. That's really how it felt to me, because, like, there was no, like, pile driver, and, you know, then it followed up with, like, a choke breaker, you know, like, no Nick Gage kind of signature, you know, finishers there, other than just, you know, beat him up with a tube over and over, and the ear was gone, and then it was like, let's get out of here, this is disgusting. So That was IWS versus GCW on F and Sanctioned. And, I mean, I was thoroughly entertained by the show. I thought it was a great show from top to bottom. I could do without, like, the overly disgusting stuff we got in the main event. And listen, I watch a lot of death matches. We're going to talk even more deathmatch type stuff. We're, you know, I've watched IWC, or sorry, I watched ICW, I should say, ICW NHB, No Holds Barred, Pit Fighter. We're going to talk about that here shortly. You know, I support deathmatch wrestling. I support the fan base and, like, the right for, you know, these performers to express themselves with that kind of art. Like, I'm cool with it. I think that everyone involved fully understands the risk that they're taking by doing the things that they're doing in there. Losing an ear is something that can absolutely happen given the toys that y'all are playing with in these kind of games. It just is what it is. I don't like seeing it. It absolutely makes me want to puke, to be completely honest, like when it gets that far. But once again, it is what it is. It's a part of it. It's like on Always Sunny, they had an analogy once where they basically said it's like going to the beach with a picnic and then getting pissed off when the seagulls show up. You know what I mean? It's like you just kind of expect it to happen. Every now and then something like that's going to happen. But that said, overall, I thought the actual show was really good. I love that venue. It makes me want to go all the way to Montreal I'm over here like, screw going to Montreal for, you know, WWE. But I'm not going to go to Elimination Chamber or anything like that. But I go to Montreal for one of these shows, for IWS. If they run that venue, that building ruled. And the crowd was hot the whole time. Like, that would be a fun atmosphere. I'd love to go to one of those shows and be in that crowd. Moving on, we have more results. We got Freelance Wrestling's Shy City. This show took place on independentwrestling.tv. Once again, you could use code FIGHTTALK over there for that. And this show took place on March 9th, my brother's birthday. Happy birthday, Brian. These are the results. We had Shane Mercer over Blair Onyx, Lobo Okami, Saban Gage, Sorta Incredible Iverson, and Aaron Payne. Excuse me, the finish of this one was Shane Mercer hitting the moonsault and battery onto Saban Gage for the 3 count. After that, we had Cota Hernandez over Isaias Velasquez. The finish of this one is basically Cota's on his hands and knees, and he's begging Isaias to hit him with a chair. Isaias won't do it. The referee takes the chair away, and while the ref's distracted and they're not looking, Cota whips out a slapjack, a sock full of rocks, and hits Velasquez in the head with it. So Cota gets the win over Velasquez with a slapjack to the head for the 1-2-3. After that, we had a tag team match where GPA and Lainey Luck defeated Angel Escalera and Chico Suave. The finish of this one was Lainey Luck with a distraction leads to GPA getting a backslide pin with his feet on the ropes to get the 1-2-3. After that, we had Brian Keith over Cole Radrick to defend and retain the Freelance Legacy title. This was a really, really damn good match. My favorite match on the show, I think probably my favorite match on the show. There's some other really good ones. I really like the tag match we're going to talk about. Big Craig Mitchell guy as well, we're about to talk about. But as far as what, you know, for me personally, I think the best match of the show right here was Brian Keith defending and retaining the Freelance title, Freelance Legacy title over Cole Radrick. The finish of this one was the Soul Fire Bomb, the Stack Power Bomb by Brian Keith to retain his title. After that, we had Craig Mitchell over Carlos Romo. Craig got the win with a Trapper Keeper for the 3 count. After that, we had the Freelance Tag Team titles on the line. The Bang Bros, August Matthews and Davey Bang, defend and retain their titles over the Voros Twins, the team of Chris and Patrick Voros. Finish here was the Bang Bros hitting Ride the Bus, and then both going up top and hitting the double 450s at the same time. So the 900 for the 1-2-3 to retain their titles. In the main event of the show, we had the Freelance World title on the line. Storm Grayson defends and retains his belt over Trevor Outlaw. Gets the win with a knee trigger for the 1-2-3. Up next, got results for ICW No Holds Barred Pit Fighter 15. This show is also known as the Ultra Violent Vortex. Show starts off with Well, I should just say these are all death matches. I'll just throw that out there right off the bat. Starts off with Akira over Hardway Heater in a battle of KOBK. So, for those of you who don't know, Akira and Hardway Heater are both members of the Killer Be Killed stable. Comprises of Sean Campbell, Moes, Bret Eisen, again, Heater, Akira. I'm probably missing some others now. I probably shouldn't have started listing them off because Lutha X. Who am I missing? I'm missing anyone else. I'm sure I am. I apologize if I am. Shout out KOBK. Love those guys over there. But this was a battle of really two brothers here. And Akira gets the win over Heater. Basically, what winds up happening is Akira locks in a bully choke. And he just keeps it locked on. And eventually, Heater goes out cold. And the referee has to stop it. After that, we had Malcolm Monroe III, I should say, over Sean Campbell, another member of KOBK. He was out there with Akira and Hardway Heater after they had just wrestled each other, or fought each other, I should say. Monroe III gets the win over Campbell after hitting him with basically like a, I wrote down the Black Mass, but you know, like the Aleister Black style spinning roundhouse kick. Black Mass for the knockout. Referee stopped it, just knocked out cold. After that, we had Hoodfoot over Noah Hossman. Hoodfoot gets the win with the backdrop driver. And there was like stray thumbtacks all over the ring. So, I mean, he definitely landed in a bunch of them. There was weapons and, you know, plunder and wreckage all over the place. But Hoodfoot gets the win with the backdrop driver on attacks to get the win over Hossman. After that, we had Danny D'Amato over Lizzie Blair, who had Peyton Blair in her corner. The finish here was a Mondo driver that he hit. He hit Lizzie Blair on top of Peyton Blair with the Mondo driver and then pinned Lizzie for the three count. After that, we had Tommy Vendetta over Chris Bradley. Vendetta gets the win. I wrote this down. I wrote down a backpack stunner cannonball through a door covered in building bots in the corner. So I'm going to try to slow that down a little bit. So he puts him up, Tommy Vendetta puts Chris Bradley up in a backpack stunner, runs across the ring, does a front flip, like a front somersault, like a cannonball, like you would into the corner, like a Kevin Owens style cannonball, but while he has Bradley in the backpack stunner, and they go through a door that's covered in, I think they were called building bots, which are kind of like Legos, kind of like an Erector kit kind of stuff, if you're old enough to remember those. But basically like plastic toys, plastic and metal toys probably, that were like all over this door that they went through with this backpack stunner cannonball. It was pretty nasty. Good stuff. Tommy Vendetta is one of the most, I don't know if I want to say slept on deathmatch guys, but he's a guy I feel like I don't hear a lot about very often, but he's always showing out in anytime I've seen him in any kind of deathmatch situation, he puts on one of the best performances or one of the most memorable performances of anyone. So I want to throw that out there for Tommy Vendetta. Also, after that, we had the match between Tank and Christian Ross. Tank gets the win after hitting Ross with a flatliner through a ladder that was held up by chairs. So, basically, as it sounds, like Tank's so huge, he like falls backwards with Ross, just and this ladder just disintegrates. Just they wrecked this thing, but it was set up by, you know, sitting on two chairs, so they went through it kind of like a table would, but you know, through a ladder with a flatliner. So once again, Tank over Ross, and then the main event of the show, we had a non-title death match. So it was a non. This was not for the IWTV Championship. But Matt Tremont still gets the win. He defends and retains his title over John Wayne Murdoch. Tremont gets the win after hitting JWM with a DVD through a door that was propped up in the corner for the 1-2-3. Moving on, got results for NWA versus AAA. World is a Vampire. This show took place on March 4th, and it was National Wrestling Alliance versus Triple A or Triple A, however you want to pronounce it there. These are the results from the show. And it took place in Mexico City, Mexico. We had Arez and La Hydra over Aaron Stevens and Natalia Markova. Commander over Octagon Jr. Sorry, Commander and Octagon Jr. over Scion and Homicide in a tag team match. We had the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Championship on the line. Kerry Morton defends and retains over Sal the Pal and Jack Cartwheel. I love seeing Jack Cartwheel as a part of this. If NWA can get more access to him, that'd be great. I get that he's more on the AAA side of this. I understand that. But, like, Jack Cartwheel's a guy I've been saying for a minute. If this is, like, such a weird niche fantasy booking idea for me, but I've been saying this for a little while. Jack Cartwheel should get signed by the WWE. They need to put him in NXT and pair Jack Cartwheel with Chase U and make Jack Cartwheel the Chase U cheerleader. And not, you know, in kind of like a Spirit Squad type of way. Like, have him go out there and just, like, you know, with, like, the school spirit, doing all these, like, crazy cartwheels and stuff like that. But he can incorporate it into his matches like he already does. And he'd blow people's minds, I think. Plus, I'm still just not a fan of Duke Hudson. So, if you can do Jack Cartwheel and Andre Chase as a team, I'd love that. Also, by the way, bring back Bodie Hayward. I don't understand why he got squeezed out the way that he did. I bring that guy back. If it's between Bodie Hayward and Duke Hudson, I go Bodie Hayward 10 out of 10 times. I just don't understand why they did what they did with that guy, or what they're doing with Duke. Because it just doesn't work for me. But that all said, Jack Cartwheel, love seeing him as a part of this. And I think that there's big things in his future sooner than later. It's just a matter of time for that guy. After that, we had the NWA World Women's Championship on the line. Camille defeats Lady Flamere. Camille, just super dominant champion, continues to retain her title. Love to see it. I feel like eventually her versus Jade Cargill is going to be a big deal. I feel like it's a crash course that will eventually, it'll eventually happen. We had the AAA World Trios titles on the line. Nueva Generacion Dominita defeated Chris Adonis, Kratos, and Tom Latimer to retain their titles, their trios titles. We have the NWA World Tag Team titles on the line. La Rebellion, the team of Bestia 666, Bestia 666, and Mechawolf. I love trying to mix it up here as I'm going through this show. It's like half Spanish, half English. Bestia 666 and Mechawolf, they defend and retain their title over Blue Demon and Vampiro. We had Psycho Clown over Trevor Murdoch in the main event of the show. The NWA World Heavyweight Championship on the line. Tyrus defends and retains his title over Daga. After that, we had results for NWA Power. This show is available right now on YouTube if you want to go check it out on the National Wrestling Alliance YouTube channel. Show started off with Trevor Murdoch beating Beast Mode by disqualification. When Daisy Kill came out and Daisy makes you know his debut, they were saying on commentary he was supposed to have like an actual match soon, but instead like this was the debut, just so no one knows who he is. Beast Mode is a freaking just specimen of a human being. If he can work at all, they got to figure out what to do with him. Like if you're gonna push Tyrus as your champion, like just put the title on Beast Mode right now. You know, I'm just saying, just looks test alone. Beast Mode versus Omos is like already like my dream match of dream matches. Anyway, what winds up happening is Trevor Murdoch goes up top to go for his diving bulldog off the ropes. And Daisy Kill comes out and grabs Murdoch's leg. And then Daisy and Beast Mode beat up Murdoch and the referee calls for the bell for the disqualification. After a Black Jesus and EC3 promo, we have EC3 defeating Dante Smiley. This was a handpick opponent by EC3, so he decided to wrestle Smiley. Squash match, as you would expect here. Gets the win with the purpose for the tap out. After that, we had stuff like with James Mitchell building up Ty Valkyrie versus Maxie Impaler. Also had a promo where Vey Valentine is interviewing Medusa. And there's just not a whole lot more to talk about with that. I mean, There's a tournament coming up for the NWA Women's Television title. But I mean, they really don't need more championships involved in this show. It's already, I don't want to go down that whole rabbit hole, but there are so many damn titles in the NWA on all these shows, especially when you get like the mix of like them doing stuff with AAA and stuff. It's like title, 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 title. Everything is totally watered down. Everything's totally devalued. NWA already has way too many championships as it is. Adding this tournament for the NWA Women's TV title, like they don't need an NWA Women's TV title at all right now. Just leave that off the show. Focus on, I mean, whatever. There's no point in me giving advice to the NWA at this point. They're just gonna do what they're gonna do. We have a hair versus, speaking of, this is a perfect example, hair versus mask match advertised. Hair versus mask, okay? Sal the Pal versus Gags the Gimp. Father James Mitchell's out there as well. It's a double count out because James Mitchell basically is like yelling at these guys outside the ring and they just don't get back in the ring in time. And then he yells at them afterwards as well. So in this hair versus mask match, it's a double count out. Mask isn't removed. Hair isn't cut. Gigantic waste of time. Match sucked as well. We find out that next week in the TV title tournament, we're going to have Ashley Dembois versus Kenzie Page. Obviously, I'm a massive Ashley Dembois fan. I've been talking about her a long time. Go back on past episodes of The Weekender. I've even commentated matches for her here in Atlanta on the indies. I am a huge fan of hers. She should just be straight up involved in wrestling Camille for the main title. Like, there's no point in this TV title thing. And I'm also hearing stuff about Ashley. I don't think Ashley's going to be available for the NWA for very long. Let's put it that way. Kenzie Page has been doing great in the NWA for quite a while, and she's doing great for herself on the indies. Currently the New South, you know, champion. Big stuff. Big fan of Kenzie. But once again, both these women should just be involved in, like, the main title. There's no point in this women's TV title. After that, we find out that Damage and Carnage, the team that's with Aaron Stevens, that just keep losing matches because Aaron Stevens just keeps punching people with this loaded glove that's just a regular-ass glove. They want to wrestle Law Rebellion. Law Rebellion's a great tag team, by the way. Like, they deserve a lot better than what the NWA gives them to work with. I'll give them the... Well, I'll keep it real when it comes to that. But, Damage and Carnage do nothing for me. And Aaron Stevens does nothing, nothing, nothing for me. That guy, man. Never hits when it's that guy and me. And then the main event of the show, we had Camille over Ruthie J. Got the win after hitting a Finley roll, followed up by a spear for the 3 count. So, just for the record, because I like to do this on each show when I go through the NWA, we keep kind of like a count of, like, you know, matches versus like finishes and all this kind of stuff. Last week, I should keep like a running count, but last week it was something like 4 or 5 matches, and I think every single one of them was either a count out, a DQ, a time limit draw, or someone used a weapon to win a match. So based on like that, let's see how this week was. Opening match, Murdoch wins by DQ. Second match is a squash open challenge by EC3. Third match is a double count out. That was hair versus mask. They did a double count out and just nothing happened there. And then Camille, you know, beat a challenger that no one expected her to have any problem with. So more or less 2 squash matches, a DQ, and a double count out in a mask versus hair match. And also, by the way, no fodder on the show, no Angelina Love, 2 people that, like, they clearly are, like, you'd think would do something with as a team, or more as a stable, or something with more of them, as, you know, it just doesn't make sense. Like, last week, fodder comes out, squashes a dude, Angelina Love's out there. Angelina Love's coming off of one of Camille's best matches of her career for the women's title at the last pay-per-view, and then just, like, lost after that. Now it just doesn't make any sense. Like, it's just... Once again, why am I trying to make sense of it? Just put the 10 pounds of gold on Beast Mode and just be done with it. Next set of results we have is NXT Level Up. The show took place on March 7th, I believe. No, March 10th. I'm sorry, March 10th. I think the show was taped on March 7th, though. And I always watch it on Hulu. That's why I recommend to check it out. That's the easiest place for me to check it out because I usually watch it the night before or the day of me recording this Weekender Pod. So, and by the way, for people who don't know, I'll just say it again. One thing I love about NXT Level Up, outside of like the actual concept of what the show is it's an hour show, but like a good chunk of it, a good 20 to 30 minutes usually, is something from a recap that happened on Raw or SmackDown. So really, you really only have set aside like a half hour of your day to watch the three matches on this show. It's really digestible. Just I think it's solid for what it is. I've said that. If you go into watching this show expecting, Ring of Honor or expecting like AEW pay-per-view or something like that, that's not what this is. But if you go into it expecting like just to see new people and watch their progress go from watch them literally level up in front of your eyes and gain confidence in front of a crowd and get better in the ring and develop their character and a move set and the whole deal. This show has been very entertaining for that and has served its purpose for me ever since the rebrand from 205 Live to Level Up. That said, here are the results for this week's show. As per usual, we had three matches on the card. We had Indy Hartwell defeating Ja'Kari Jackson in the opener. Hartwell gets the win after hitting her spinebuster bomb for the three count. After that, we had Scripps defeating the returning Quincy Elliott. Now, I've seen a lot of there's a lot of controversy surrounding Quincy. They have, I should say, said some things that have definitely not gone over well. They were taken off television for quite a while. They were getting a big push on the main NXT show prior to saying and doing stuff. I'm not going to sit here and comment on all of that. I'm just going to say this. Strictly from the wrestling standpoint, even that's becoming pretty controversial because I saw a clip went very viral from this match of Quincy using their breasts to basically hit Scripps in the head. Like instead of doing like the 10 punches to the head in the corner as you normally see, Quincy did them with their chest, with their breasts. Whatever you want to call the chest area of Quincy Elliott, bouncing up and down, essentially throwing punches to the head of Scripps. That was wild. Quincy's different. I was a big fan of prior to a lot of the controversy. I'm just saying what I'm, it just I'm just making observations here. Quincy Elliott is just controversy, and I think at this point that is what they are leaning into. Scripps gets the win after hitting Quincy with a Molly Go Round off the top rope. I do not know what he calls it, but I will always call it the Molly Go Round unless I hear he has a better name for it. Basically, a front flip, senton off the top rope. And the main event of the show, we had Odyssey Jones over Von Wagner. The finish here basically saw Robert Stone, the manager of Von Wagner, telling Wagner to finish Jones over and over again, and Wagner was hesitating. This led to Odyssey hitting a black hole slam for the three count. After the match, Robert Stone and Von Wagner continue to argue with one another. So there's a lot of dissension there between the former Robbie E and the man that I call Encino Man, Von Wagner. Moving on, we have results for Hog House of Glory. This show is called With Glory Comes Pride. And this took place on March 10th. It's available on Fight. Well, it took place on Fight TV. I don't think the replay is available yet at the time of this recording, but it was available on Fight, and I would imagine the replay will air sometime in the very near future on Fight. Show started off with the Hog Cruiserweight Championship on the line. Mighty Monte defeated Encore to retain the title. After that, we had Evander James with Mike Verna defeating Joey Silver, who had Scarlett Midian. We had the Hog Women's Championship on the line. The Ultraviolet defended and retained over Maxxiom Palor. We had Michael Fain over Rochi Roach. The Hog Cruiserweight Championship number one contender match, Ichiban defeated Nolo Kitano, Aceto, Raheem Royal, Smiley, and Eden to become the number one contender to the Cruiserweight Championship held by Mighty Monte. After that, we had the Hog Crown Jewel Championship on the line. Charles Mason defends and retains his title over Alec Price. We had the Hog Heavyweight Championship on the line. Jacob Fatu defends and retains over Fred Rosser. We had the Hog Tag Team titles on the line. New champions, the Bookers, the team of Amazing Red and BXL, defeat the main event, the team of Midas Black and Jay Lyon, to become the new Hog Tag Team champions. And obviously the big story here, the Bookers, hence the name of the team. These are the guys who run the show. They're heels, and they are now the tag champions of their own company, but also run the company, you know. So that's the whole story, and it's been a long time leading to this match in this moment here. And the main event of the show, we had Kushida defeating Loki. All right, last set of results we've got here is for MLW, Major League Wrestling Underground. This show is available on Reels. It took place on March 7th. Show starts off with Jacob Fatu over Leo Rush. During the match, I should say, Alexander Hammerstone was on commentary. But after the match, they wind up facing off and fighting each other. So Fatu and Hammerstone, once again, this is all a bunch of build heading into their big rematch. Fatu being the former MLW Heavyweight Champion who lost the title to Hammerstone. Fatu has gone through a lot to get back to this title, winning Battle Riot and a whole bunch of trials and tribulations leading up to this rematch. That should be, well, it already happened in real time a while back, but we'll find out, you know, as it airs here soon. Get to watch it. Let's see. We have Cesar Duran bragging with Hennigan and Valkyrie just about, you know, there are all these titles now because, you know, Hennigan's the National Openweight Champion, beat Davey Richards on last week's show. Taya Valkyrie, of course, the Women's Featherweight Champion. And speaking of Valkyrie, I'm hearing, and I was saying this weeks ago, I'm hearing now, it's becoming more and more public, that Taya is most likely going to be signing with AEW or going back to WWE soon. I think that's a no-brainer. Like, she definitely should. She's one of the best female wrestlers in the world right now that isn't signed to AEW or WWE. They dropped the ball with her massively as Frankie Monet the first time in NXT, the first time she was in WWE system. So I don't know if she goes back there, but she'd be a valued asset, in my opinion, in either company. After that, we had the Billington Bulldogs, a team of Mark and Tom Billington, defeating the Bombay Fight Club, a combination of Byron Reed and Mr. Thomas. During the match, Alex Kane was on commentary. He distracted the Billington Bulldogs, but Davey Boy Smith Jr. is the one who, like, helps to help the Billington Bulldogs overcome the odds and get the win. And because of this win, Davey Boy Jr. gets a match against Alex Kane. We get more stuff between Real One and Mance Warner. And kind of throughout the show, we also find out, well, I'll talk about kind of the bigger reveal at the end here. But we have more stuff with, like, Real One, Mance Warner, Microman, a whole bunch of stuff that's been going on that's almost impossible to describe if you haven't been following the show. We have EJ and Duca doing an interview. He's talking about Fatu because they've been, you know, going back and forth. They were brawling. Calvin Tankman, his tag team partner, basically says they need to, you know, get together here and, like, really unite and really focus and be a team. And Duca says, like, he's down for that. We had more Mance Warner, Microman stuff. We find out, okay, so this is where I was kind of getting to. I was tiptoeing around this. So Microman was attacked last month. We don't know who it was. It was finally revealed on this show. Raven was behind the mystery attacks on Microman. And basically, Raven's behind it, but the guys that are doing the stuff for him, his new kind of Raven's flock kind of thing, if you will, it's revealed as Akira and Ricky Shane Page. So I love knowing that RSP and Akira are a part of MLW now, and they're teamed with Raven. I think it's going to work out really well for both of them in that landscape. Akira, I was talking about earlier, obviously a big fan of him. And RSP is a guy who's really been lost in the mix ever really since losing the GCW World Championship to Nick Gage 2 years ago now, I guess, at the Collective. Just really been lost in the mix, left GCW shortly after. 404 really like disbanded and a whole bunch of stuff, and like stuff with Atticus, and Atticus left GCW as well, and a whole bunch of trials and tribulations for RSP. Had some shots in AEW, didn't wind up there. But I'm very interested to see Akira and RSP together with Raven as their leader. After that, we had the MLW World Heavyweight Championship on the line. Alexander Hammerstone defeated Lance Anawai, who had Juicy Finau and Jacob Fatu in his corner. Got the win by disqualification. Basically, what winds up happening here is Fatu was on commentary during the match. Tankman and Nduka wind up getting involved in this, and they're fighting, and Hammerstone and Fatu are fighting. Samoan SWAT team are fighting against Nduka and Tankman. So basically, it winds up with Tankman and Nduka brawling with Samoan SWAT team and Hammerstone and Jacob, so it's all just, everything's coming to a big boiling point with all these stories and all these matches coming up soon with all these titles on the line and all these storylines kind of culminating now. So that's going to do it for the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Please, once again, hit the like button right here on Fightful Select. Please follow me on Twitter at @FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. Make sure to use code FIGHTTALK on independentwrestling.tv. And make sure to listen and watch The Spotlight every Thursday, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time with myself and Jeremy Lambert. That's on the main YouTube channel for Fightful, Fightful.com. Or it's on Fightful.com as well. And articles, too, for the interviews that we do. The most recent interview, of course, as I said earlier, myself and Jeremy interviewed Bobby Flacco. There is quotes on Fightful.com, and the full interviews are available as a part of the main YouTube.com/Fightful channel, as well as Fightful Overbooked as a standalone interview. So please check that stuff out. The plan, unless something falls through, is that me and Jeremy are going to be interviewing, or Jeremy and I should say, are going to be interviewing Hunter Drake, who just won the Haas tournament over there in New South last weekend. So you should be hearing from Hunter Drake this Thursday if all goes as planned. And if there's any changes, anything else at all, if you want any updates from me, once again, my Twitter is FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. Once again, I'm Steven Jensen. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.